So take that authority and don't apologize for it. You be the parent and let that child be the child. And use the discipline and correction, the authority, and understand that you will be accountable for it. Don't pass it off on the church. The church is not responsible. We're responsible for equipping you and for helping you. We're a support to families. But God holds you accountable for your families. Don't forget it. Because one day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will answer as a parent in that role that God has given to you, because He has delegated certain authority to you, certain power to you, and you will be accountable for that power and that authority. Okay, let's move on then. I find this astounding in how it fits with the overall theme of Samuel. And we took as a theme verse in our studies of 1 Samuel, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And this was God speaking to Eli when his sons were out of control. And God rebuked Eli and said, "Eli, I'm going to remove the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to bring discipline on the nation of Israel and on your family because you honored your sons more than you honored me." And this principle or concept, we've looked at contrast. There was Eli, and then there was Samuel that walked in obedience with God. There was Saul and his rebellion against God. And then there was David and his obedience and his, at least his brokenness and willing to submit to the disciplines of God. And when we had Absalom that came along, we have another contrast between David and Absalom. In each case, we're looking at this principles of discipline that God applied to different people and their responses to these things. And the controlling concept here was that God honors those that honor Him. Those that obey Him, those that submit to the truth of God's Word and the principles of God's Word, it brings honor to God, and when it does, God says, "I will honor you." It'll be like grace around your neck. It will be a display before others that you're walking in the right way and in righteousness, and it will be honor for you. So that's the way it works. That's the principle here. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. I couldn't help but think of David as God spoke to him through Nathan the prophet in chapter 12. He said, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord? Why have you despised?" That was the principle. And I there's a connection here. Because all through 1 and 2 Samuel, we see this connection with God's discipline of these different people of Israel, of Saul and his demise, of David and his rise and his being sustained through the years because of submission and because of certain attitudes and mainly because of a response to discipline. Dr. Constable said, in summary of the book, "God's purposes will be accomplished. The individual or group's actions and attitudes in light of God's purposes will determine their ultimate destiny." So isn't that something? It means that in child training, in that application of discipline, and that child's response, their ultimate destiny will be either associated with God's purposes and walking in righteousness and obedience to God or not. And it will either be associated with honor and with eternal things that God has orchestrated and ordained in a fallen world that His people are to walk in, or they will not. We will despise Him, and we will be lightly esteemed. It's a simple principle, and we find it take place in these lives. So let's look at the second principle here, and that is that the means of child training is through teaching. There's two concepts here. The first is teaching. We find it all over in Proverbs. And I think David put all the pictures together. I think he had thought through it. And I think that when he trained Solomon, when Solomon was young there and later in his life, when David was already grandpa age, and he was sitting down and he was giving that instruction to Solomon, and Solomon was taking in these things and listening to his father and learning these wonderful principles of wisdom, they were coming from his meditation upon the fifth commandment, or the first commandment with promise. And they came from David looking at life and having the experience of God disciplining him and bringing, working out those things that were needful. Notice what it says, Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commands. What is that? Well, that's teaching. That's instruction, isn't it? And do not forsake your mother's teaching. So we got a parent team, mom and dad, and they're giving the correction, the teaching from God's Word. And raising up. You know, it's not just about clothing someone and giving them food and seeing them grow up and making sure they're educated. It's something much more than that. God, your role is much more important than that. It's much more demanding. And it involves the teaching of righteousness of God's Word and those principles. Now, here's some principles that we'd like to take. Teaching is the means. Let's look at a few points here. Number one, God's Word is the final authority. Okay? If Benjamin Spock had taken God's Word as the final authority, he wouldn't have made the mess that he made. He wouldn't have been involved in it. He wouldn't have played his part in it. Because God's Word is true. It's the authority on discipline. It's the authority on child training and all of those different issues. You find it right there in the Scripture. We don't need anything more. We don't need his textbook, especially if it's contrary to the principles in God's Word. It's misleading and injuring if we do not understand the basic principle that God's Word is the final authority on whatever it is, finances. God's Word is the place that you need to go to get your principles for how to manage your finances. Child training, God's Word is the place that you need to go to get the principles for determining how to raise children. Or anything else, God's Word is sufficient. It's all that is necessary. It is the ultimate authority. A principle in teaching is that, and just the basic idea and the idea and the responsibility of teaching is that it's important for you to mean what you say. Okay? Mean it the first time. Do not allow your children to know that according to the decibel of my voice when I say don't do this, that determines whether I really have to do that or not. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? It's amazing. They can be incredibly young and they can know that they've got, you know, that decibel level's not at the place where I got to get up and do this right now. Okay? And what they have come to understand is that my parent does not mean what my parent says. Okay? It's so basic. If you just think about it, it makes sense. Because, and relate it to God's discipline of David. God said, David, you're going to lose this child. You're going to have trouble from your own family. And God said these things, discipline-wise, and those things came about. God meant exactly what he said. And it's important for us in the fear of the Lord to understand that God does not mince his words. And as a parent, he doesn't want you to be a model of him in doing that kind of thing, because it brings real tragedy and sorrow and hurt to your children if you do. Mean what you say the first time. Okay? Don't raise your voice. Say it once. Say it clearly, say it with face-to-face expression, and let it be what it is. Because that's the way the Lord would have it. And that's part of teaching. Number three, avoid idle threats. Do not tell your children that you're going to do something that you do not do. You know, work on it. You have to work. And I know you have to stay on your toes to do that. But avoid idle threats. Don't threaten them with things that you're not going to follow through with. God does not do that in discipline. And parents should not either. Okay? It's a simple principle. It's a principle that's in Scripture. It's a principle that will work. And then number four, do not permit prideful arguing. Don't argue with your children. It's shameful. You know, I mean, there's a time. And there's a place to where, as children age, and here's the way it works, as they grow older, then you explain more to them. That makes sense, right? Because you're teaching. The idea is to teach them. And in giving that instruction with love, then you explain what is necessary. But it's you know, for instance, David with Finney in there, and he's going to touch the hot stove. And Finney goes, coo, 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 and David goes, grunt, grunt. And you know, they communicate on a very basic level at that age. And so Finian's removed. You don't touch his no, no. And then you start to say no, and then you're going to say no, no. And, you know, you communicate on that level. But later on, you know, as he grows a little, this is hot. There's fire in here, and it'll burn your hand. And so you explain a little more, and there's a natural progression which takes place. But don't allow your children to argue with you. At an earlier stage, you say, no, don't touch that stove. And they need to learn that you mean what you say. And they need to learn, because it's a rebellious nature within a child that will naturally want to argue. He'll naturally want to do what he wants to do, even if it's harmful. That's why, as a parent, you're given that responsibility. And arguing is not beneficial to either of you. And then number five, explain more as a child ages. I've made that point already, so let's move on. Not only is there teaching, but there's another principle of discipline here. I went too fast on you, didn't I? Let me go back to that. But that explain more as a child ages, that's the fifth point. For those of you that are taking notes, I hope we can move on at this point. Okay, let's look at the concept of discipline. Discipline is the means of child training as well. And not only do we teach, but it's necessary in training and in discipline to correct. Proverbs says, in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 11 and 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. The Lord disciplines those he loves, as the father the son he delights in." Okay, so again, the principle there is it goes beyond the actual expression of information, but the discipline that produces the right actions in the child. Discipline is that correction and direction, the use of control, authority, and power to bring about proper, righteous response in a child. Okay? And God is interested in that in you as well. So we keep going flip-flop back. Absalom, here's Absalom, or Solomon, and here's David with in his relationship with God. Principles of discipline work for all of us. Okay? All right. Discipline is the means of child training. There's two aspects of discipline. Okay? These two principles are essential for you to be aware of. Punishment is used in rule breaking. In other words, if there's abuse of the car, then you punishment would be taking the car away. Punishment would be setting the parameters whereby they get their homework done because of undisciplined behavior or doing things that are wrong or breaking certain rules of the family. Punishment involves grounding or things like that, where you set parameters. But chastisement is the actual physical use of the rod or spanking for rebellion. And it's biblical. There's a biblical principle in spanking. And both of these aspects of discipline are necessary for parenting. And you need to understand those. These are the things that Benjamin Spock, that if I can go be so bold as to say that the evil one himself wants to use to destroy families. He wants to undermine the authority of the parents and to dismantle the family and to institute principles which will bring chaos and destruction, because that's his nature. It's his nature. Okay? So understand those two ideas, and let's look at just a couple of principles here in closing from the Proverbs. Number one, spanking is biblical. Proverbs 23:13, "Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die." Now, that's spanking. And it's taught. David taught it to Solomon. And I don't care what our culture says. We need to stand on the principles of God's Word. Now, this has to do with chastisement. Correcting the child using physical force. And that, boy, looks like he's come through the ringer there, hasn't he? But Absalom died because of he did not and could not and would not receive correction. But the principle there is to spank the child. You apply physical discipline. You apply the rod in order to break rebellion. The concept there is punishment corrects, and you put those parameters to correct bad behavior. But when rebellion comes up, then it's necessary to break that rebellion. Okay? That's what God did to David. God said, David, you've got a rebellious streak. You despise the word of God. You committed adultery. I'm going to break you. And he spanked David. Nobody can spank like God spanks. Most of you know what I'm talking about. Okay? But God applies force to change our behavior when there's rebellion against him. It's the concept. It's the basic picture, the basic idea. It carries over to the family. Spanking, therefore, is biblical. And withdrawing from spanking can bring death, as it did in the life of Absalom. Okay, refuse correction. It brings death. Proverbs 15:10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. And that's what happened with Absalom. He hated correction. Absalom wanted what he wanted. He wanted his own way. He did his own thing. And the result was that he died out of rebellion against his own father and certainly against God. Harsh discipline comes to those who refuse correction and who continue in rebellion. Learn it. Hide it in your heart. Realize that it's not optional here. If you're in rebellion against God, you're in danger. And he may be patient. He may let you go for some period of time. But in Absalom's case, destruction came, and it came quickly. And he was the rising young star. He was going to rule Israel. He had everything together. And he was willing to lay it all on the line in rebellion, and it cost him his life. Okay? Number three, a third principle, neglected training brings death. Now, this is from the parental perspective. Had the perspective of the child there about harsh discipline, but it says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. That idea of setting your heart, it means kind of bringing about his destruction. Do not bring about his destruction. So, if you don't chasten, if you don't spank your child, if you don't deal with that rebellion, you see, you can send them to the room, but they can be just as rebellious in their room as they are in front of your face. But it's necessary, and the biblical principle and concept says that when that rebellion is there, it's necessary for you to discipline. And let me tell you something, to start early is essential. It is essential, because if you start as a teenager, you're going to have some big-time problems. But if you start at an early age, when that rebellion comes into their face, and you take that switch, and it's not meant to hurt them, it's meant to correct them, but you bring them to brokenness, and it won't destroy them, because the authority of Scripture says it will not. But it will correct them, and it will keep them from living a life of rebellion and determining in their mind at a very early age that if I just try hard enough to get my way, I can get it, even from my parents or whoever it is. And I'm going to go through life that way. That's destruction. That's death. It's inevitable. Okay? Number four, this fourth principle, spank in love and not in anger. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly or promptly. It happens early. Spank in love. And do not make your children fearful of you. That's not the objective. You make sure that they understand they love you, or that you love them, and that they are loved and they have that security. When you spank, it's never done in anger. And if you're have a tendency toward anger, then you need to learn to go aside and spend some time in prayer before you discipline. Okay? Don't ever take anything to your child when you're out of control in anger. It's not biblical. It is not a biblical concept. And it is doing exactly what it said in Ephesians chapter 6 not to do, and that is provoke your children to anger, to wrath. Okay? Number five, rebellion brings shame. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. OK, Okay? So it goes back to that honor concept, doesn't it? So it all connects. It's very real principle there that shame is brought to the parent when the child gets his own way, when he's selfish and self-focused and prideful and learns that if I do these things, I can get my way. That's what the problem with Absalom causes death. All right? And then there's I think from Jeremiah 7, this is just a couple of verses where you can jot these down. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. God is going to discipline His people. And that principle of discipline not only carries over to child training, but in our relationship with the Lord. Okay, and here's another verse from Jeremiah 5. You can jot that verse down. Jeremiah 5, verse 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have not refused. But they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. And that's where Absalom was. That's rebellion. And God answers that with very serious response and judgment. Okay? And then the final principle there is that correction produces honor. And again, that is the goal of child training. It's a goal of God's discipline in our lives personally. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards rebuke will be honored. Okay? So I want to stop here with these principles. Hopefully you got some good things to think about. There's certainly a lot more. I didn't intend for it to be a comprehensive training, child training, but just to look at some of those wonderful principles from God's Word. And as we apply them, there's going to be good health, both in our lives and our personal relationship with the Lord and in the lives of our families, because we have not rejected and made the sorry mistake that Benjamin Spock did and those secular humanists that decided that, oh, we need to let these children, their old sin nature run free. It doesn't work. It's not biblical, and it will never work. But to take God's Word and His principles and apply it will be honor. It will be grace about our neck. And so we want for God to work out those things. Let's come as we close just to that some basic things that we might need to think about. I just want to challenge you, if you're struggling with some area of rebellion, if there is some area of need, a special area of need and relation in this area of your life, if you're struggling with some issues in child training or in your personal relationship as far as principles of discipline, pray that God would give you grace and that you will receive correction, because no doubt if God loves you, He's going to correct His children. He disciplines His children. And so you can expect those things, and as you expect them, humble yourself and look for God's principles from His Word and correct on the basis of those principles, and you will have good health. And honor will be the attainment, for you will honor Him with righteousness and walking in a manner which is pleasing to Him, which is good for all that are involved. Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word. May our hearts be tender and submissive and humble toward You, and maybe be quick toward correction. Lord, we're all rebellious in our old sin nature and our old ways, and apart from Your new nature and the Spirit of Christ working within us, Lord, we would just go our own way and we wouldn't receive any correction. But by Your mercies, You have called us as Your people, and You desire to correct us. And we ask that You would do so tenderly, Lord, and that we would respond quickly so that the rod of chastisement would not be necessary to apply often, if at all, to us as Your children. And we thank You, Lord, that in Christ Jesus there's victory, that we don't have to walk in defeat and we don't have to walk in rebellion, but we can know victory in Christ Jesus. And we pray that He might save us, for He is our salvation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.